You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
You can text that word notes or grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Someone say much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, or another translation says, has chosen what is best. The secret to daily encounters is discovering how you best connect with God. The title of this message today is Connecting with God, part two of our altar series. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, I just want to stop and just say thank you for your tangible presence that was here today. Thank you for bringing us into the secret place, the holy place. Lord, we love you. We love your presence. And we say we don't make room for you. We're not ashamed of you, Holy Spirit. In fact, we've building this entire church around you. So we say, have your way. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive. It's true. It's active. Lord, I declare it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I thank you. Your word is true and every man's a liar. Lord, I pray that today you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Lord, I thank you. No one came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And everybody said, amen and amen. Part two of the altar series. If you missed last week, we talked about unknown altars. Three kinds of altars people make. One is the altar of sacrifice, repentance. The second is the altar of incense or prayer and worship. And the third is unknown altars. See, if you are not aware of the altar you're building an altar to a demonic false spirit. The elders went away for our elders retreat, and we got on our face before the Lord, and I had a vision. And the vision was you, a part of Mercy Culture, the members of Mercy Culture, building altars in their home. Now, when I say the word altars, I don't want you to think a pile of dirt or rocks. I want you to think about God encounters, because altars mark the place that you encountered God. And I heard the Lord say that this year we were going to build altars in our homes. But there are some people that you could not build an altar in your home because you already had an altar to Baal or an altar to an unknown spirit unknowingly set up in your home. So last week we talked about this, and if you didn't get this message, go to the podcast. You can go to YouTube or Mercy Culture's Facebook page and you can listen to it or watch it. But we talked about being aware of the altar that you're building. So this week, we're going to be talking about connecting with God. And next week, I'm going to teach you on how to engage God specifically every day. So for the next 2 weeks, we're teaching how to fulfill the vision of this church to create daily encounters or daily altars. So many people say this. They say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to read. I don't know what to sing. I don't know how to handle, encounter God. So you love coming to the church service because we have prepared the table for you. We have prepared or built the altar for you. But encountering God one day a week is not good enough. You have to encounter God every day. So for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to teach you how to encounter God. So before next week, I show you the what. Today, this week, I'm going to show you the how. So everyone connects with God differently. And one of the biggest mistakes we've made in church is we said your quiet time is 30 minutes with the Lord. Well, thank you. That's like telling someone who's never touched a weight or done an athletic activity in their life, how you get in shape is by going to the gym for 30 minutes. Well, I have seen people wander in the gym for 30 minutes. And it will not help you if you don't know what you're doing. So I'm going to teach you before we start talking about next week what to read and what to pray and do those things. But before we even do that, what's important is that we learn how to connect with God. And everyone does it different. So I'm going to give you a few warnings. Here's the first warning. A lot of people copy or imitate or mimic other people's God encounters. And then they get frustrated that it doesn't work for them. So you're in a prayer line and everybody's falling out. And so you feel like you got to encounter God, you got to do a courtesy drop and fall out. And the Holy Spirit after service, like, thanks, you made me look good. Appreciate that. Would have looked really bad if you didn't go out. All my charismatic Pentecostal friends know what I'm talking about. But here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to say, wow, you know, Pastor Landon, you're spiritual. I want to do what you do. That's not what you should do. You shouldn't copy what I do or copy what someone else does or copy anyone else's relationship, because people connect with God differently. The second thing you don't want to do is you don't want to interpret how someone else doing it as wrong. Let me give you an example. So in Luke chapter 10, the scripture I opened up with, Martha goes to Jesus and said, I am serving you and Mary isn't. Tell her to encounter you like I do. Fix her because she's not doing it like me. And Jesus said this, what she's doing is best. Watch, for her. Because if you notice, he did not tell Martha, stop serving. Let me give you another text. Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. And as soon as she's healed, she begins to serve him. And he didn't stop her from serving him. Because apparently Martha and Peter's mother-in-law both connected with God by serving him. Different people connect with God differently. And just because you connect with God differently doesn't mean yours is less or of less value. Give you an example. One of my best friends is Pastor Russell Johnson. He pastors the Pursuit Northwest in Seattle, Washington. In fact, Jasmine Tate is leading worship for him this morning in Seattle. And if you didn't know this, Russell had the original dream of Pastor Steve and I standing on a map of Fort Worth, Texas, when I was on the original fast here in Fort Worth praying about starting this church. And he's a vivid dreamer. He actually, I took him to a prayer room. There's a prayer room I go to in Washington. I've been going for years. And I brought him one time. And the first morning he comes downstairs and he goes, an angel came in my room last night. And like, you know, when you got friends, like you don't know if they're joking or not. You know, and I'm waiting for the punchline. I'm waiting for the just kidding. He wasn't kidding. I was like, for real, for real? Like an angel, like angel? He's like, yeah. And I was like, where? He's like, he just stood at the foot of my bed. I was like, did he say anything? He's like, yeah, he said, you're in a safe place. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a second. I've been coming here for 6 years. I can't even count the nights I've spent in this place. And you come on one night and you get all of the angels. I'm like, I'm never bringing him back ever again. So one time I was in Florida and I was telling this story and I was joking about my buddy that has dreams and sees angels. And I said, I'm in the middle of my sermon. And I said, I never dream. And I heard the Holy Spirit rebuke me, correct me as I was preaching and said, I speak to you in daydreams all the time. Those are visions. So watch, I'd put all of this focus on people that dream when they're asleep. And they can't touch nothing on people like me that dream when you're awake. I was like, that's what those are. Do you know we built this church on visions? You know, we are praying, a group of us, and we built, how many are in a small group? Let me see your hands if you're in a small group. Do you know we have over 638 people participating in small groups already? Do you know why we have small groups? Because we were worshiping and I had a daydream or a vision of houses on fire all over Fort Worth. So watch, now that I know that God speaks to me through daydreams, now I could be aware that God wants to speak to me differently. But here's the thing, is if you're too busy jealous of someone else's dreams or how someone else hears from God or encounters God, you don't realize that God wants to speak to you your own specific way. So don't look at someone else's and try to do it like them. Lay in bed at night. Okay, I'm going to dream tonight. One piece of pizza, one Twinkie, one donut, Red Bull. Let the dreaming begin. Second warning today. Don't look down on other people's encounters. I am blown away how many people look down on one thing and not another because they encounter God a certain way. I don't know about that gold stuff. Can you believe that when they worship, gold stuff comes on their head? I think they're lying. You know what the Bible says about gold stuff? Gold dust? Nothing. If God wants to manifest himself through gold stuff or feathers or run a pig through the room, it doesn't matter what it is. He can move however he wants to move. He can speak through donkeys. He can speak through rocks. He can make water come. He can make quail come. It doesn't matter how he wants to move. So you can't be so uptight over doctrinally neutral issues. But what we want to do is we want to look down because we don't encounter God the same way. We want to look down on how other people encounter God. And that is actually should make you aware of a spiritual immaturity in you. And that's an area that you need to grow in. Okay? The other thing today that you're going to be blessed is if you are spiritually frustrated or stuck, this morning my prayer is that you get out of that rut. Because everyone encounters God differently. Heather and I went to Bethel this week to break our fast. And the Lord told me before I began the fast to break it at Bethel. So the last fast he told me to break at the Western Wall in Israel, this fast he told me to break at Bethel. So we flew to Bethel. I took on a romantic weekend. We stayed at the Reading Holiday Inn Express. Living large. If you want to know what my sneakers cost, I got them for $29 at Zara. We almost took pictures outside the Holiday Inn like this. And on Thursday night, I'm hanging out with Pastor Eric, who is the pastor of Bethel. And he starts telling me about how God's been moving in unique ways in their community. And so they have one of their worship leaders who's from New Zealand. And I don't know what nationality or what tribe specifically, but he is from the indigenous people that are native from New Zealand. And he was leading worship, this big like Samoan type guy, he's leading worship. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit tells him to do the haka. And if you're unfamiliar with that, you ever see the football players before games that they start doing all the chants and, you know, and doing all that stuff and, you know, have you seen that? So it's actually a very spiritual, passionate encounter that they do. And so he's up there and the Holy Spirit tells him, do the haka. And he's leading worship on the guitar. And so all of a sudden he like starts quietly like doing the moves and yet, and people are like, is he doing the Holy Ghost Macarena? Is that related to holy yoga? Five religious people just ran out of the church. Just kidding. They don't come to Mercy Culture. And the Holy Spirit said, no. Do the haka. And he's like having this like inner war. Like, I can't do the haka while I'm leading worship. And all of a sudden, he just chooses to obey. And starts like full on, like do it. And all of a sudden the presence of God falls during the haka. Now what you don't want to do is be a 4'9" white guy who weighs 125, get up on the middle stage and do the haka so the presence of God falls. That's not the strategy. Don't try to mimic someone else. Watch, God told him in that moment to do it. So what I want to do is I want to create an awareness that people encounter God differently. The question is not how do other people encounter God? The question is how do you encounter God? Now, if you think about it, there's many different personalities or personality types. In fact, the Myers-Briggs that was founded by Isabel Briggs Meyer, they formulated 16 different personalities that people respond or interact with other people differently. And it's great because it can give insight on your behavior or your interaction with other people. So I'm going to give you today 9 different spiritual dispositions or 9 different ways or types people connect with God. And I want to be abundantly clear, this is not associated with the Enneagram in any way, shape, or form, okay? What I'm going to give you is a biblically based, biblically backed description on different ways people connect with God. So we're going to do a couple of different things, and I want to be aware of this. These 9 ways are all in our membership we call MC Connect. So when you go through our membership at Mercy Culture, you take this assessment, it's about 90 questions, and based on this assessment, you will see how do you personally best connect with God. Then after you take the assessment, you get the results when you go through the interview, and we give every single person a ministry plan. So based on your spiritual disposition, we have recommendations on different things you can do to connect with God. Now, next week, I'm going to teach on the actual ministry plan that we recommend. But today, I'm teaching about the different ways people connect with God. So we thought we'd do something fun in this service. We started it at the 9 o'clock service, and we did a poll to see how does our congregation best connect with God according to each person's spiritual disposition. So if you have that poll, go ahead and throw it up. So this is a live, active poll right now, and as I teach about these different ways people connect with God, you can go to Slido, that's Slido.com. You type in mercy, and this will come up. So this was according to the 9 o'clock service, the different ways people connect with God. And as I teach about them, you can go on your phone and vote. There'll be a box for you just to check what you think you are. But if you want to find out for sure, you have to go through MC Connect, and you can get all of your results. So 9 different ways people connect with God. You ready to go? Number 1, the naturist. A naturist connects with God through nature. As a naturist, you feel there is no better place for you to meet God than in the sanctuary that he has created himself, nature. You love to be outside. It's in nature that you most easily connect with God's presence, hear his voice, and you are moved to worship by the observance of his majesty. You connect with the greatness of God, his grandeur, as he expands his being. You're immersed in his creation. It draws you close, brings biblical concepts to life. It cultivates hidden revelations, and you receive truth. You love to be outside experiencing the awe of God. Abraham was a naturist. And when you go through MC Connect, we'll show you a list of biblical characters that connected with God the way you do. Let me show you. In Genesis 15:5, it says, "And God brought Abraham outside." Once he was outside, he said, "Look up to the stars. Count them if you can." So Abraham started counting stars, and he said, "So will your offspring be." And then it says this, verse 6, "And he," or Abraham, "believed the Lord." So watch this. Verse 5, God said, "Go outside." Verse 6, he encounters God. The only difference between his God connection was just going outside. Some of you are having a hard time connecting with God because you pray inside. So you know what the easy fix for it is? You go outside. So let me break this down. If you connect with God every time you go fishing, boating, hiking, walking, and when you're outdoors doing these outdoor activities, you're just like, "Wow, God's awesome. Wow, look at the mountain, look at the star, look at the sun, look at that bird. What kind of bird is that? Look at that alligator in the Trinity River. Isn't that amazing?" If you do not believe that there's alligators in the Trinity River, just ask my brother-in-law. He will prove it to you. There's alligators in the Trinity River. Anyway, look at it. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And watch, the moment you get outside, all of a sudden your awe, your wonder turns on. God knew Abraham was a naturist. So he told him, look at the stars, Abraham. As soon as you look up to heaven, I'm about to talk to you. Some of you are frustrated that you're not hearing from God, is all you need to do is go outside and look up. Go outside and look around and you'll connect with God. When you go through MC Connect, we give you scriptures to meditate on. So let me give you one for the naturist. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Everyone who goes to MC Connect, we give you a list of practical activities. So today I'm going to give you one for every disposition. So here's the practical activity for the naturist. Go outdoor, find a spot where you can go and connect with God. So make your prayer time on that trail out in your neighborhood. You don't have to go away and go on a trip and go to the mountains or go far away, but find somewhere outside that you can connect with God on a regular basis. If you think you're a naturist, make sure you click it on the poll. Experientialist, connecting with God through the senses. You have a deep desire to worship God fully in the present moment. You are keenly observant. You feel that you don't worship God if you don't worship God with your five senses, you are withholding from him. You want to experience everything God has to offer and feel it in your being. It's not enough to only hear about the glory of God. You want to taste, feel, see, and smell and encounter people that has had with God in the Bible. Ezekiel was an experientialist. Ezekiel chapter 37, God spoke to him and said, prophesy to these dry bones. He said, Ezekiel, could these bones live? And he observes the bones and he says, no, they can't live. He said, now prophesy. And according to Ezekiel, all of a sudden there was a loud sound. Then there was a rattling and it came together. And then he looked and he saw there was no breath in him. And he said, prophesy that there would be breath. And then all of a sudden the winds are blowing and all of a sudden it comes alive. Look at the wind, the sound, the rattling, the joints, the flesh, all of these things in senses. He's experiencing his encounter with God. Some people, you need more than just the text up on the screen. You know why we do these doodles and do all these things and have artistic people do? You know why we do that? Because for the people that encounter God like this, this brings it alive to you. And if it was just up there with just plain text, you would just, But as soon as you see it, oh, is that a candle? What in the world is coming? Look at all that stuff that's coming out of that Bible. It's like it's alive, like inside me. And all of a sudden, you start feeling things and seeing things and encountering things differently. But when a naturist looks at that, he's like, lame. It's just a dumb doodle. Can we have church outside? Scripture to meditate on. Acts 17:28, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Practical activities. Create a worship space for yourself to engage your senses. Light a candle, paint a picture, decorate, set out a meaningful article like a cross or something while you pray and encounter God. So I brought mine, and I am not this disposition. Mine's in a second, but this is my tallit. And there's nothing special about it. I don't even know where it's from. I don't think it's from Israel, but I was on the Crow Indian Reservation. And I encountered God in this moment where a guy put this over my head, handed me a shofar and said, blow it. And I said, I can't blow a shofar. And he said, yes, you can. And he shoved it in my chest. And I thought, like, who are you talking to, dude? And as soon as I thought it, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm talking to you. I'm like, got it. Okay, through this guy with the tallit and a shofar. Got it. And they put this over me. And we blew the shofar, and I've never blown it before. And he put it over my head. And I blew the shofar. And this blast came out, and the power of God shook this place. So I pray under this all the time. And when I go to Israel, I take it with me every time. And as I kneel at the Western Wall, I drag it, I wipe it on the wall. I baptize people in the River Jordan in this tallit. I lay it on pieces of cement, or excuse me, not cement, rocks and dirt that I knew that Jesus had to walk by. There's nothing magical. There's nothing special. It's not anointing. But I encounter God underneath this thing. And so it means something to me. So the strategy is not run out on Amazon and buy a tallit. In fact, I try to be really discreet with it because it can be distracting to other people. And the worst thing that you could do is bring attention to yourself and take it off God. But sometimes I'll be in a church service and I just feel like I'm supposed to get underneath it. So I'll quietly pull it out and kneel in the corner and put it on. And I try to obey God. There's been numerous people that I've called in, or God has called into ministry as I've laid this on. He's had me cut corners off it and give it to people as a sign of a prophetic ministry that was starting. All sorts of stuff that I'm not writing theology off of. I'm just obeying God, encountering God through. I'm not pretending I'm Jewish. I'm just loving and honoring the culture of the God of Israel, because Jesus was Jewish. So things like this are how experientialists can encounter the presence of God. Here's the other thing you can do. I'll give you one more practical. You're the only one who gets two. Go to Israel. Because if you want your senses to come alive, go to the Holy Land and you can taste and smell and see for yourself. Number three, liturgist, connecting with God through traditions. You feel tied to an ancient faith. As a liturgist, you connect deeply with the Lord within the context, the historic dimensions of your faith. You find yourself drawn to religious expressions that may seem traditional to others, but you see them as an anchor to your faith. You know that learning the history keeps you grounded and helps you grow in the present. The Holy Spirit unites the body of Christ on earth through history. You know that being theologically grounded, participating in biblical ordinances, creeds, and other liturgical practices help you connect with God in a way that nothing else can. Biblical characteristic is the nation of Israel. God said in Genesis chapter 12 that he was going to make them into a great nation. People that are liturgical, you will connect with the storyline of Israel, that from an obscure people to all the way to a promised land, God shows his grace, his mercy, and his faithfulness the entire journey. So people that are liturgical in nature, they look at traditions not being old-fashioned, but they look at traditions as helping you be rooted in the faith. Scriptures to meditate on, Hebrews 13:7. Says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Two practical activities for liturgists. Number one is memorize scripture. If you don't encounter God the same way people do at the altar, then memorize that scripture and hold it in your heart. The other thing that you could do is regularly take communion. And as you take communion, it connects you to the history of our faith. Number four, this one's mine, the minimalist. You connect with God through simplicity. As a minimalist, you find intimacy and strength when you're alone with God. You may appear to be an introvert. Even when you are part of a group or people, you might seem to be isolated from others. In the midst of your busy life, your heart longs to be alone with God. You could become uncomfortable in an environment that keeps you from listening to God's still small voice. In loud, chaotic environments, your heart yearns to be simple, silent room in a peaceful silence of God's presence so you can clearly hear his voice. You tend to live strict lives of spiritual self-denial so that you can be free to focus on God. I like this. You may be strict with yourself, but with others, you have supernatural gentleness. Those that are minimalists love just to escape and get away with God. Biblical characters were the Nazarites. Numbers chapter 6, when the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel, say to them, when either a man or woman make a special vow, a vow of the Nazarite to separate himself from the Lord. A minimalist loves to separate themselves from the distractions, the hustle and bustle, the community of people, and go and get away with God. Now, you have to be careful because your strengths could also become your weaknesses. While it's wonderful to go get away from people, get away from things, and get alone with God, it's also great to be in community. Because you don't want to be the Christian that's a part of nothing, a member of nothing, connected to nothing. You're a lone ranger, and you're the one sheep outside the fold by yourself when wolves come. So it's important to understand, it's wonderful to go get away from people, from distractions and things. So if you're a minimalist, you know what you could do? You can turn off your phone. Little practical things that you can do. You can have quiet time that it's set apart. A scripture to meditate, you'll recognize this, Joel 1:14, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the old men and the inhabitants of the house of the Lord, and cry out to the Lord. Practical activities, spend time with God early in the morning or late in the evening, your quiet time of choice. Mine's at 4 a.m, I get up and go to the Trinity Trail. And the reason I go at 4 a.m. is because nobody's there. I usually see one power walker and a guy with like 30 lights on him. And me. And I'll go out there some mornings, I won't see anyone for miles. And I'll find myself praying out loud and praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, shouting. I don't need an interpreter because I'm not prophesying to myself. I'm just building up myself in the Lord, praying in my prayer language, crying out to God, yelling. All of a sudden, Waymaker comes on. I'm running and dancing and shouting all by myself. Alone with God. I love it. Sometimes I forget I'm actually outside by myself. If anyone saw me, they would think I'm a freak show. I mean, but I love being alone with God where it's Him and I. Number five, this is my wife, the activist. You connect with God through justice. Let me tell you a funny story about Heather being an activist. So one time we're at a restaurant and they brought back, it was like a dollar wrong in change. And we're sitting there and she's like, no, we're going to wait and we're going to go to a movie and we're all waiting. She's like, no, I need to wait for my dollar back chain. We're like, just leave the dollar. We're late. Let's leave the, just come on. And one of the family members said, Heather, don't be cheap. And all of a sudden it dawns on me. I know she's not cheap. She's one of the most generous people I knew. The problem was they didn't get the math right. Injustice demanded the right response. It had nothing to do with being cheap or not. It had to do with no, right is right, wrong is wrong. Let me read you about the activists. The activists worship God by standing against evil, leading the lost to repentance and healing in Christ. You often find yourself debating issues and are passionate about either in person or online. How many seen those Facebook activists? You're like, oh gosh, don't get them started. Please, don't get them You tend to see the world in black and white. You have strong beliefs, convictions, opinions, and you're not afraid to voice them. You see inaction towards unrighteousness as injustice or sin itself. You experience the presence of God as you crusade for justice. You live for God in His love alone. You love the sinner, but you hate the sin. And you bring awareness from a posture of love. Your identity is with Jesus' words. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Those that are activists, you cannot stand to see injustice. You see people of a different race treated poorly, and everything in you just goes from 1 to 10. That's not right. You hear about people that have been wronged. And you say, you know it's not right. You want to, not only is it not right, but you want to do something about it. And then you get irritated with all the other people that aren't doing anything about anything. And then you got to be careful because you may connect with God differently than other people. And so you think, hey, everybody should be doing something. And you get so worried on everybody rather than you doing something. So I know we got a lot of activists in this church. That's why we have a ministry called Justice, that the whole mission is to abolish human trafficking. And this group gets together on a regular basis the last Wednesday of every month. And they just pray and fast. And there's a lot of different ministries that are getting going. We've seen people actually rescued off the street through this prayer and fasting and training that we've been doing. We see people that are going out and they're making a difference right now in Fort Worth. Human trafficking happens in Fort Worth. And I know you live in your nice neighborhoods, but it happens here. And the church has to care. So the activists need to rise up and connect with God by showing people his mercy and justice. Esther was an activist when she went and stood before the king and said, if I perish, I will perish. It doesn't matter what happens to me. The only thing that matters is that justice remains. Scripture to meditate on for activists, Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Practical activities is join the justice ministry or search your heart for what burden God has placed with you and then ask him what he's called you specifically to do about it. Number 6, the enthusiast. You connect with God through celebration. You never lose the awe and the wonder of God no matter how many services you attend. Whether you can sing or you can't sing, or you're not even musically inclined, you still lead worship with your passion. You feel the experience without expression is empty. The presence of God demands a physical response. You can't understand how someone can encounter the presence of God and not respond in some physical expression, clapping, shouting, dancing, yelling. You may say, if you really believe the words you're singing, you would express it. The enthusiasts are the proverbial life of the church party. Dom may be an enthusiast. Let me bring a great awareness. The enthusiasts are down here on Sunday mornings. You don't care if people watching you dance. You're going to dance. You don't care if they don't like banners. You're going to wave your banner. You know why? Because you're an enthusiast, and that's how you encounter God. And here's the thing. Enthusiasts, you make a difference. Even if they don't join you, you make a difference. You know who was an enthusiast? King David was an enthusiast. You know what's amazing? That Saul was king for 42 years. He reigned with pride. And guess what? The ark of God was stolen. The presence of God was stolen. And you know what Saul did about it? Nothing. He didn't care they lost the presence of God. The shepherd boy became the king. He said, we're going to go get the presence back. We're going to go get the ark back. And they got the ark back. And you know what he did? He danced the entire way home. He said, we're going to stop and have a party all the way because it's back. Then people started mocking him because he was dancing and he wasn't acting priestly. And he said, I'm going to act even more undignified. I'm going to dance even more undignified. I could care less what you think about it. Enthusiasts love to encounter God. You got to be careful, enthusiasts, because you got to be able to encounter God when it's not a party. You got to be able to encounter God when you're alone. See, what the problem is enthusiasts, if there's not enough dancing in the church, they'll go find somewhere else to dance. You're like, oh, there's only church on Sunday. We need to go find other places to be enthusiastic. And then your passion or your gift or your connection God type can actually be something that leads you into the wrong situations, because then you're not dancing like David at all. Because he didn't do those things. He did other things, but not those things. See, watch. That's why the vision is to encounter God every day. So you have to be able to encounter God, watch, not just here. You got to be able to encounter God when you're all by yourself. That's how you're going to spiritually grow. First Chronicles, scriptures to meditate on. 2 Samuel 6:22, when David said, I'll be even more undignified than this. Here's some practical activities. Just one. When you go through MC Connect, you'll get a bunch. But here's one for enthusiasts. To connect with God in your daily time with the Lord, imagine that you're at church, because that's where you get down. And it's your favorite part of the worship service. And the part you love most, then start praying, encountering, and seeking God after you think about that. And the strategy of this is you encounter God when you're by yourself. Number seven is the compassionist. You connect with God through serving. You are the heart and the hands of the body of Christ. You feel spiritually alive when you're able to love and serve the least of these. You are the first to commit aid to a person in need and delight in being able to minister to those who are often forgotten. When a funeral or a hospital room would be intimidating for some, you are drawn to those places because you see them as an opportunity to minister heaven on earth. You encounter God powerfully in these moments. You feel the most connected to God when you are feeding the hungry or taking in someone or providing necessary goods for those that can't afford them. Biblical characteristics, the Good Samaritan was a compassionist. He wasn't a religious leader. He wasn't trained in clergy. He saw a need and he met it. Do you know this church is full of compassionists? Do you know there's teams and small groups that go all over the city on a regular basis that feed the hungry, that pray for people, that minister, that give them clothes, that treat them with dignity and kindness and respect? We got a guy in our church named Mark Taylor who serves on the serve team. And he turned his 3-car garage into a food pantry and was feeding 210 families a month out of his own garage. I said to Mark, I said, how many people can you feed out of this building we have on the corner of our property if we turn that into an outreach center? And they went out there and checked it out. Mark's right in the back. And Mark told me, he said, how many can we do? 5,000 families a month. How many compassionists do we have in here that would love to serve and feed people and clothe people and treat them with dignity and respect and show them the love of God? Scripture to meditate on. Matthew chapter 25. You all know this. Jesus said, you gave me food when I was thirsty. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, you came and visited me. And his disciples said in verse 40, he said, when did we do all this? He said, when you did it to the least of these, the least of my brothers, you did it unto me. You may not be a compassionist, but you know how you can grow in this area? Change your heart when you see people on the side of the road. Instead of judging how they wound up in that situation, just open your wallet and show mercy. Well, you should get a job, but there's a lot of things that all of us should do, right? There's a lot of areas that we have blind spots that we're working on, right? I'm not saying enable. I'm saying show God's love. And if we're going to be guilty of something, let's be guilty of mercy. Amen? Practical activities. Join Mark and our team to serving people, loving people. We have prison ministries here. Find an area, meet the need. Number eight, the affectionist. Connecting with God through intimacy. I think when I looked last, we had the most affectionist of anything in this church. It's probably why this church is so deep. You want to have the strongest connection with God possible. You seek out times to quiet your soul and find the connection that transcends even the most negative current circumstances. If faced with hardship or life being able to minister for solitude, deep connections and intimacy, you feel completely disconnected from God. Worship is the strongest expression of this intimacy because it is the response of a heart that's overwhelmed by the love of your Creator. It's not just about feelings or senses for you. It's about the intimacy of knowing God and being known by Him. And no matter how close you get to God, you long to be closer. Affectionist just got goosebumps right there. You're like, that's me. It's your breath in my... Do you know in your MC Connect ministry plan, we give different songs for different connection types? Is it interesting that some songs all of a sudden come on and you're like, yes, that's how I feel. And then the liturgical guys in the back's like, next. Just joking. Mary at Bethany was an affectionist. She sat at Jesus' feet. She washed his feet with her hair. It wasn't good enough to wash his feet with her hands. She washed it with her hair. And what do religious people do? They mock that affection. Pull yourself together. This is unnecessary. You're bothering him. Really? Because Jesus didn't say it bothered him. In fact, he said, you're judging her, but you didn't wash my feet. You didn't give me something to drink. You didn't greet me and kiss me. But she hasn't stopped doing it since I walked in here. You know what, affectionists? We're not embarrassed of you. You can cry. That's okay. There's tissues all around. You just sit in the corner by yourself. It's okay. People will leave you alone. We want you to encounter God. And I know the feeling of being so madly in love with them. And here's what I would encourage you, affectionists. Don't wait for a weekly connection with God. Do it every day. Take that passion. Take that devotion. Don't wait for these doors to open. Connect with God on a daily basis because he wants to connect with you. Scriptures to meditate on, Psalms 103:17 says, but the steadfast love or the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Practical activities. Build a time to sit with Jesus in a quiet place and just focus on what he wants to say. There's this little old lady that invited me over to her house. Tiny, itty bitty little thing. She said, no, it wasn't Dr. Vaughn. It was another tiny, itty-bitty, cute little lady. And she said, would you come over and pray with me? I said, I'd love to come pray with you. I walked over to her house. And she said, do you want to sit in this chair? This is the seat that Jesus sits in. I was like, yeah, I do. She sat with him so much. She knew where his presence rested in the room. See, we should be encountering God that we know where he is in the room. We're aware of when we go from the holy place to the most holy place. Practical activities. I already told you that one. Number 9, an intellectualist. You connect with God through understanding. You place a high value on loving God with your mind. You are not content with trite answers or shallow responses, but rather you seek the depth of knowledge of God in every situation. You have a lot of questions, and these questions drive you to learn and ask God for insight until you feel a resolve within yourself. You need to understand not only what you believe, but why you believe it. To you, the details matter. The more you know about God, the closer you feel to him. The difference between an intellectualist and a Pharisee is an intellectualist has information to understand God and help people to understand God. A Pharisee just wants to know information about God without relationship without God so they can manipulate people. They talk down, they're insulting, they're derogatory, they're demeaning. But someone that loves God with their mind, they just want to understand. You know, I traveled as evangelist for 10 years, and two people greeted me after the service. One, rebellious people that wanted to argue about random things, and two, intellectualists that wanted answers to questions. What do you mean about tongues? Can anybody speak in tongues? I tried it once. It didn't work. Oh, this happened. What do you mean about that? How come this and how come that? They weren't arguing for arguing's sake. They wanted truth. They wanted understanding. And you know what? That's a great thing. But you got to be careful if you're an intellectualist that you don't think that people down front are mindless weirdos that don't care about anything. That as soon as someone takes off their shoes, we have some offended
enthusiasts in the room. As soon as someone takes off their shoes, they're like, oh, they don't know anything about the Bible. That worship leader's got their shoes off.
Solomon was an enthusiast, or was an intellectual. God said you could ask for anything, anything you could ask for. And you know what he said? He said, I want wisdom. Do you know why he wanted wisdom? He wanted wisdom to help people. Band, come and join me up on the stage. He wanted wisdom to be able to bring people closer to God. Scriptures to meditate on. Wisdom, Proverbs 4:7, is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Practical activities. Don't play yet. Just come and join me, guys. Practical activities for the intellectualist. Read the Bible through the lens of gaining understanding. And when you read it with your mind, ask God for his heart. See, sometimes if you're an intellectual, you get caught or you get stopped at when you learn something that sin is. And then you get so focused on the sin, you lose compassion for those that are bound in it. And Jesus never tolerated sin. But he was never mean to a sinner. In fact, Jesus showed them 100% grace and 100% truth. A woman who was caught in the act of adultery, he didn't say this was okay. He didn't say, darling, you were born this way, it's okay. He said, who else here has no sin? He said, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. That's mercy, y'all. Where you encounter and address people with grace and in truth. When you go through MC Connect, you get a full assessment for your spiritual type and disposition. If you didn't go ahead and vote on that poll, make sure you do that. It'll be fun to look at it. Here's what you get. In fact, if you have that updated poll, if it's refreshed, throw it up. If not, don't worry about it. The full overview that you get is this. When you go through MC Connect, you get a full description of every connection type, of your connection type. You get a list of a bunch of Bible characters that all are that connection type. A list of practical activities, not just one that I gave you today. Cautions to every single connection type, book suggestions to read, scriptures to meditate on, a song list to enhance your worship experience, and a ministry plan. Now, next week, I'm going to teach on the ministry plan. But let me tell you the coolest thing about all of this. You could take that screen down now. Is that in all 9 different types of God connections, Jesus was every one of them. So when you connect to Jesus, you connect with God. Jesus was a naturist. He was always outside. In fact, he even calmed the winds and the waves. You can play, Ryan. He was an experientialist. When he stopped and said, whoa, who touched me? His senses felt the power leave him. He was a liturgist because every single tradition pointed to him. He was a minimalist when the Holy Spirit led him out in the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He was an activist when he made whips and chased out the money changers and overturned tables when he was demanding justice in God's house. He was an enthusiast when he walked out of the grave. He was a compassionist when he washed his disciples' feet and saw the multitudes and was filled with compassion. He was an affectionist when he wept in the garden over you and over me. He was an intellectualist when they tried to trap him with questions, but he knew there was nothing he didn't know because he was God and knows everything about everyone. And today, you can connect with God by connecting with Jesus. Some of you have said, Landon, I haven't connected with God in a long time. We want to help you connect with God every day. And every day starts with today. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place? If you're an intercessor, just start praying. Holy Spirit, just come and fill this room. If you want to connect with God, the Bible says the path is wide to destruction, but it's narrow to salvation. There's one way to God. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through an idol. It's not through any other way, but one way, Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. You go to heaven because you're covered with his blood. Heaven is full of people that were sinners, that met a Savior. Thieves on crosses that looked over and said, "You're God, remember me." Adulterers, fornicators, liars, murderers, that were all forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Today, if you want to connect with God, every God connection starts with Jesus. He is the Son of God. If you say, "Landon, I want to connect with God. I need my sins forgiven. I want to ask Jesus to be the Lord, to be my King. I don't want to just go to heaven and connect with God. I want to connect with him today. I want to get right. I want repentance. I want forgiveness." With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, if you say, "Landon, I need Jesus. I need to connect with Jesus." If that's you, just lift your hands as fast as you can. Put it up, put it down, put it up, put it down, put it up, put it down.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.